I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Say welcome. It's fantastic to see you, JT. But what a shithouse week in Supercoach. What Man. The hell is going on?
Delete. Start again. Can we?
Well, maybe for your team, but not for mine.
Hey, what are we talking about? My team. Let's take a look. So let's just jump straight into it, shall we? Wenin, round three, 1015, and 4,562nd overall.
Well not done. Bad. Not bad.
Little drop from last week, though. Sadly, weren't as happy this time around. JT, round three, a big 10.58, back on the climb and 5,605th overall, but just 17 points behind you, mate. The footsteps.
Yeah, footsteps. Footsteps. You know who else is on the footsteps at the moment?
Don't tell me.
The Bulldogs and the Cowboys.
Your stake bet with Joe could not be any tighter, mate. That is devastating for both our teams.
Mate, can you just start supporting your half-decent sides? You guys have been pretenders since 2015.
15-week grand final, 17, mate. I went down there, I saw it in the flesh, was devastating.
Well, Cowboys that was a waste of money.
It most certainly was. But you can't ever complain after that GF in 2015. Now, mate, I've got the cap on. It brought me luck last time. Round one, we got it. Got a win. I've got it back again. Got a feeling we're going to pump the Raiders.
It's good that you got a feeling.
Mate, well, I brought Johnny Bateman.
I got a feeling.
I brought the Johnny Bateman, the base gun, as he's been known now. And I'm going to kill him. His Supercoach season is over. The Cowboys NRL season is going to get back on track. This is a big week.
It is.
Forget all
week.
The doom and gloom. Forget all the guys on Twitter that are saying they want to delete their team. This is just where the game starts.
It does. Exactly right. Quick shout out to a couple other things here. So Young Legends League, the one that we're in with a few of the regular contributors and also some of the Daily Telly boys and a couple other people, 89th overall, so that's good. Unfortunately, a couple still holding us down, not naming any names, Thomas Sangster and Serge Barster and all those clowns aren't performing very well at the moment, but hopefully they can lift it. And I have to do it, I don't really want to, but Kirkup, bloody hell.
Do you reckon he's slept since Sunday? He sounded very tired on the pod. There's a lot of yawning. A
lot of yawning. I think he's been still going through Facebook now to stalk his neighbours.
They're in Japan or something like that.
He thinks he's hilarious. Like he thinks he's having about five rums and then watching one game and then jumping on and talking smack. And now he just, you know, I just want to see what happens when he falls into the, you know, out of the top 5,000 if he continues on.
Kirkup's one to watch.
#WonderWatch. #WonderWatch.
He's currently 259th overall.
He's worth a look. He's worth a look. Kirkup is worth a good hard look.
But just on that, we are, as you know, 4,500 for you, 5,600 for me. We are just about 170, 180 points behind him. Crazy. And he's in the top 260.
Yeah, amazing. You know, it's only going to take one good captain selection, I think, before that tide will turn. Before we get into the meat of the podcast, what are we drinking tonight, JT?
Oh, we did put it up on Twitter there because I think it will take about an hour to read the whole label out. But shout out to Great Uncle Kenny's multiple purpose amazing Wakachungi Lager, established circa 1648. And it's a quite nice beer according to the label.
Oh, I actually don't mind it. You're not a fan. 5%, I think it's a nice lager.
Well, see, I flew up the M1 from the Broadie to be here tonight, grabbed this one on the way here, and kind of hoping I can go and get a little store credit for this bad boy when I go back. Sorry, Uncle Kenny.
Listen, but I don't mind Uncle Kenny's brew here. The amazing Wakachungi is, I'm happy to have it again, but we'll try another one next week.
Yeah, try a slightly nicer beer. A Great Northern, warm twoies. Round one worked for us.
Well, these ones are a little bit cooler, but not much. So we're going to be covering quite a few things tonight. First off, we're going to run through team news and injuries. Just cover that over in about 5 to 10 minutes. And then we're going to jump into the three key takeaways for the week. There's a lot of front row forward mid prices. So the front row forward mid price bonanza this week. You know, the second point is, is it too late to jump on those cheapies that have seen that initial price rise? And then lastly, we're going to cover, you know, what to do with the two halves that have disappointingly left the starting side this week. One's been dropped and one's been is out injured and looks like it could be missing for up to 2 months. So what are we going to do with those guys? And then we're going to move on to some Twitter questions and then a new segment for the week. It could get a little bit heated and we might be 2 to 3 beers in by that stage. But our unpopular takes of the week.
Mate, I heard so much agreeing between you and Copes last week. I was listening to it on my way down to the Goldie for work, and I reckon if I was taking shots every single time I heard, yeah, I agree with that. I agree. Don't start. Yeah, that's a great suggestion, Copes. I wholeheartedly agree. Mate, we need some argy-bargy. We need some arguments. We need the old Kirk up and Wenin style back.
Yeah, I'm just trying to build Copes' confidence up. He had a big game the next day, just trying to help the guy out. You know, nothing better than a good confidence build, but I don't really give a shit about you. So I'm happy to sit here and argue with you all day. So that's fine.
Easy.
So you've downloaded the podcast. You're also streaming it. But if you're not, or if you do struggle to find it, the easiest way, and we haven't said this previously, but just subscribe. So subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Because what happens then, as soon as we record, upload it, it'll magically appear in your feed, good to go. So the NRL Supercoach Talk Network this year has two additional ones. So I've got the Supercoach Report, which is on Wednesday, the Solo Nick podcast on the Sunday night, which is a barrel of laughs, past all the yawning and the Kiwi accent. And then we've got a new addition to the family this year with the NRL Supercoach Talk Draft guys talking about waiver. So I think that game's going to take off in the next couple of years, and those guys have been doing it for quite some time now. So it's good to have them on board. Okay, JT, team news. Give it to me.
Mate, you're the one who wrote the article.
Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Jesus. He's had half a beer, maybe three quarters.
It's been a big week. All
right, so big news, right? Everyone, it started filtering out on that Tuesday, that horrible, horrible Tuesday, but Cheapy Hart's gone.
Yeah, Kieran and Brown.
What do we do? So they're gone. Yeah. So another cheapie comes in to replace AK6, as he's known. So Chanel Harris-Tavita comes in.
Yep.
So a similarly bottom price player, but what do you even do there? The Warriors are an absolute basket case.
Yep.
Dylan Brown, unfortunately, seems to have done something to his back, which is an old man injury.
They're likening it to a fast bowler injury. Mm. So basically, had too much of a pre-season, it seems like, on heavier, on the drier and harder tracks. And, you know, he's just suffering from that at the moment. Although his form in the first 3 weeks wouldn't have suggested anything like that. He's been, despite those scores hovering around the 40s, he's been looking really, really good.
Not for an 18-year-old to settle in like that to a team that's coming up from the bottom. That was huge. But probably typical of someone that age. Like, you can't throw these sort of 18, 19-year-old bodies into the rigors of full-time NRL and then expect them to come out the other side unharmed. So, unfortunately, that's what's happened here. Still a bit unsure of how long that might be. I think NRL physio was saying it's more of a wait-and-see kind of thing, especially for someone like that. Someone that young, better to just take care now than ruin anything else. So, moving on, Ponga. Finally, KP gone back to fullback as everyone was screaming out for about 3 rounds. So Nathan Brown's finally
Pong
missing.
Pong Gibbon.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell Fitzy's doing. I'm sure you got rid of him. You had to get rid of him, right?
Absolutely not. Have you seen the fixture they've got coming up?
Mate, fixtures mean nothing as, sorry, to digress, our little stake bet. Should have let off with this, but it was a great win for me over the weekend. So, listeners out there,
Wenin and I had a little
side bet in our WhatsApp group going. So, Wenin was pounding Damien Cook. How good is he? You can't go without him.
That is not how it started. Mark was talking about who was going to trade in, and the advice that was provided that I said was, listen, if you're going to be upgrading, I think you have to go to either Cook or no one.
But he has Hodgson,
yep,
unlike I do. And he was saying, I need to get Cook in this instant. I have to get him in. And you backed that up. Shorthand, I sort of just sat back and said, hold your horses, young Sparky. Maybe you just hang on to this little ragamuffin from the north of England, Joshy Hodgson, and maybe, just maybe, he'll sneak you some absolute bullshit try assist like he did on Monday in updates, get you a 60 and beat Damien Cook outright.
Yeah.
So the bet that we had was that Damien Cook plus 20, so that was your bet, and I said Hodgson will match that. And I think it ended up Hodgson 60 and Damien Cook 54, and owner's worried.
So you smashed
and
him.
A stake.
Yeah.
Crumb steak, Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo's crumb steak. Not a current sponsor of the podcast, but I'm happy to take him on board if you would like. And maybe the amazing Waka Changi lager by Uncle Kenny could also come on board too.
Nice keg or two.
Angus Crichton has been benched again. So Orbo guns straight in. I mean, I don't know. If you're an owner, you've got to probably hold now because you've just seen him take a $60,000 dive.
You can't sell for a loss, I don't think, for a guy of that caliber. Obviously, he'll be out in Origin as well, which will sting you. But the minute he gets back in there, you looked at him on Friday night against the Eels, and he just looked like he's ready to bust out and break the line.
63 points, I think, in 80 minutes, all in base.
Yeah, so
57 in base, something like that.
That stopped the bleeding big time. But Orbogun. Orbogun gets a second row starting spot yet again, and I think he moved up maybe 40k during the weekend price rises.
Yep.
So anyone who defied all logic and sound reasoning and started with Mitchell Orbison has been soundly rewarded. Anyway, good on you if you did.
Cardi Party has been named to start again at second row.
And I think we were going to get into this one a little later in the pod, but you're quite
not to keen. Ruin not to ruin anything there. So
spoilers. Mm. So Cardi Party, he's starting at second row yet again, played 80 minutes and somehow got through 58 points in that time.
Yep.
And that's all you needed to see to jump right back in to the Cardi Party.
That's all you need. And then everything else, I think, the Titans is remain the same except for the halves. So they're welcoming back their two big halves or key guys there, which should help them. And they're playing against the Warriors this weekend, who went horrific last weekend against Manly. So that's going to be game of the round.
Mate, these sort of games always turn out exciting. Someone will derp it up right at the end. There'll be golden point, seven missed field goals. I think it'll be a high quality attacking game. Anyway, so if you've got the likes of RTS, got the likes of Jai Arrow or the Cardi Party, maybe you're in for a big one on, I think it's Saturday that they play.
Yeah, well, I probably won't be watching that one.
Tomorrow Friday.
And then we've got at the Sharks. So we had a pretty emotional announcement by the coach to Sherry yesterday to give him the word that he'd been selected. That was great to see. It was floating around Twitter and a few everywhere else in social media. So he comes in with Moylan out. And what I'm a little bit surprised with is that he's into the centre. So he's not on the wing or anything. So he comes straight into the centres. And he looks like he's probably going to be playing there for a fair amount of time while Moylan is looking like he'll miss about 6 weeks. So he looks like he could be a pretty good cow.
Yeah, so he played, I think, on the right edge during the trial. So he was there at centre where Dugan's been playing the last couple of weeks. So Dugan's obviously gone to fullback. So he looks like a natural in there. As you said, young guy, bargain basement. So I think you had him from round one, didn't you? Like expecting this very sort of...
Yeah. So I started with him and Allen as well. I traded Allen out for Burns last week, which has been fantastic. And I'll be looking to bring Allen straight back into my side this weekend. So... that's a trade burn, but what are you going to do? At the Dragons, huge news.
Mm. So unfortunately, it's been sort of brought about because of Gareth Widdop's injury, which looks like it'll sideline him likely for the entirety of the year. But Matt Dufty gets a start at fullback, which I think Dragons fans, if I'm reading right, have been crying out for quite some time. Or at least just a stop to this nonsense mid-game shuffling of the spine.
Mary McGregor just has to be the most fortunate coach in the NRL.
Mate,
I don't get it.
I don't know. They got the win last week, so he'll probably be signed up to some 20-year contract now in celebration. But
yeah, he's got Dean Pace management between behind him.
I don't think I heard any expert on any panel show, on any league show say, I agree with what he's doing there. That seems like a sound move. Get Dufty into the game
yep.
with 15 minutes to go.
I guess the other thing to point out there too is that Tyson Frizzell has been named in the reserves. So that's potentially bad news for Jacob Host and also Blake Lawrie. So Lawrie's been named, Lowry's been named to start at lock again. But we really interesting to see what happens when Frizzell does come into the side.
It'll be a real ball rupturer for any Lawrie owners out there.
Lel.
Write that one.
Alan stays in the side with Burns out. So obviously Burns missing's horrible. I think he'd lasted 25 minutes.
I don't think even that long.
Yeah, he went off with a hamstring injury, thought it was an ankle, but now it's been reported that he's going to be missing for up to 6 weeks, which is not good for him, but potentially it's great for Alan.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a real popular trade, and it's one I think you and I have both done this week, is flick Burns out, bring Alan in. So you're essentially trading one guy on that left edge for the other. You know how good the Rabbitohs are down that side, so... good stuff for Corey Allen, getting a stack load of potential opportunity here going forward.
Key injuries for the week. So I've already touched on this briefly, but Dylan Brown back indefinite. However, they're saying potentially around about 8 weeks. So let's not cover that anymore. Braden Burns as well as a hamstring looks buggered for about 4 to 6 weeks. Matt Moylan out for 6 weeks, which causes a big reshuffle in the Sharks back line. Potentially good Supercoach news. For Sherry owners, but if you're a Moreland owner, you're probably going to move him on. Jake Friend just gone down with another shoulder injury. I mean, it's similar to what happened at the start of the season last year, and I mean that he's just too much of a risk for me. I wouldn't be holding on to him. He looks like he's a week to week proposition.
I'm an owner, so I've had him since round one. So he killed it, obviously, with that try in round one. Nearly racked up the ton. I think he got 95 or so, and then missed the next game. And you had Copes on the pod last week sort of say that Friendy can just do that to himself. He'll push himself too hard when he's trying to knock these 80-minute games out. And you see him, he makes 60 tackles a game. And body can't tackle.
It was from a Rooster supporter, it was actually a really insightful call by Copes to say.
We don't often have insightful calls on this pod. So it's great that placement was able to
It's good because the most insightful thing has been the amazing Wakachagi. It's been a beautiful...
It's quite nice. It's quite nice.
Grozing you after a couple. Because coming from a Roosters fan perspective, you just said, you know, there's every likelihood he's not going to... He could be missing a game there and be, you know, primed for the finals.
And if they start, obviously, conserving his minutes, so Trent Robertson sits back and goes, this is a very long season. I don't want my, you know, star hooker playing 80 minutes and knocking himself around.
Yeah, and when they, I think, 3-0 at the moment, right?
Yeah, what's the point? So, a very tough call there coming up. I think for owners like myself, like, what do you do with him there? Do we sit around and wait in the hope that he comes back and, you know, starts fresh, gets those 80-minute games out? Or in more likelihood, is he going to come back, you know, a couple of weeks from now and play reduced minutes and start leaking cash?
Yep.
So, tough one, but really there's not a lot of options there. I had a look today to see what I could do. And aside from a guy like Mitch Rain who sticks out in the mid-ranges, there's really not a lot of options there.
No, I agree. And then the last one is Gareth Widdop. Speaking about him, looks like he potentially could have played his last game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that doesn't see Zach Lomax coming to the starting side. Lomax is a goal kicker, so I'm not quite sure what they're going to do there. We've got Corey Norman or Ben Hunt, maybe. I don't know. I don't know who the obvious option is there.
I mean, I could be a random forward like Jacob Host. You know, these second rowers, these lock forwards, tend to have, or sometimes could have, these amazing abilities. Think of Tapiaho, those sort of guys. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who actually nabs that. Any Dragons fans out there listening, I'm sure, could shed a bit more light than we could. But interesting, yeah, Lomax in the bench there. So, you know, are they going to do the same thing they've done with Dufty and inject him with 15, 20 to go?
It's a weird selection, isn't it? Anyway... That is, I think, it for the injury and team news. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and then start to talk through each of the 3 points.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So the three key topics of this week, JT, what are we going to look at first?
So the first one we've got down is the front row forward mid-pricer bonanza, I think you called it. So
yeehaw!
Yeehaw, indeed. There's a stack of guys here that are around that 350 to 450k sort of price range that seem to be bucking the trend that we usually see and getting a few more points. So I'm going to chat about a few of them here and just gauge whether or not that you reckon they're actually worth it in the long run, whether you think it's a flash in the pan kind of thing. And maybe this is one of those anomalies in this Supercoach season where this suddenly becomes a position of value. Front row forwards usually just get a couple of set and forget kind of guys there and see them out through the year. But this year we're starting to see some emerge from the pack.
Yeah, it looks like there's quite a bit of depth there. And where are we going to start?
Let's start with the first name we got on this list here. And he's probably one that everyone's sort of talking about on the site, and that's big Junior Paulo, Parramatta front row forward. So have a look at some of his stats. So he got a couple of line break assists out of nowhere last week. So he threw this incredible pass down the right edge to put Fergo away in the first half. So he put Tucker Rangi, who then put Fergo through. But that was sort of out of nowhere. So he got this guy throwing wild spirals and saw him come. I think he's got quite a nice price rise out of that. But if you actually look at his minutes last year, so I think he was averaging, what do we got here, around 40. So he averaged 43.5 points last year at 1.1 points per minute. So, you know, just shy of maybe 50 or so minutes per game.
40 minutes per game last year.
So this year, good maths. This year, he's got 57 minutes per game. So automatically a 17-minute upgrade on last year. And if you look at points per minute, it's even gone through the roof with that. So all of a sudden you're seeing a guy who just gets through his work and nab an attacking stat now and again.
Yep.
So that sort of guy, do you imagine that's going to continue? What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, there was always talk of him being a bit of a sleeper just because there was an expectation of the minutes increasing. It's very, very low minutes last year at the Raiders. So the 40 to the 57, just the thing that I'm a bit cautious of this year, I don't know if it's sustainable, it's just the attacking stats. So last year he had, last week he had 40 points in attacking stats and 47 base points.
And that's not going to happen every week.
It's not going to happen every week. And you've also got Mao coming back in a couple of weeks too. So what happens with the minutes there? Lane appears to be an 80-minute forward.
Well, funny you say that, because I was watching him on that Friday. So the first couple of rounds he's played 60 to 70. I think they've taken him off the last little stretch there. He looked gassed. And he was not doing anything out there. So I was following his score on the app there. He barely moved from about minute 40 to minute 80. So I think he got a couple of tackles there. And you watched Teddy basically just step around him to score a try late in the game. So on that performance, I don't reckon Lane will be seeing a lot of 80-minute games this year.
Well, I beg to differ, JT. So if you have a look at what he's done so far this year, 80 minutes, 70 minutes, and 80 minutes. Hmm. He's basically produced the exact same amount of base points. It's just been the try that hasn't been there or the attacking stats for Lane. So, yeah, I mean, he could be gassed a little bit, but he has been given the minutes so far. And for me, I do feel that, especially while Brown's out, he's going to be the big minute forward there. And then Manu Mao, when he comes back, he will probably play very high minutes as well, as per usual. So it'd be very interesting to see what the rotation is for Paolo. He's priced beautifully, around about 400K. Has not seen a price rise yet because he's only played the two games. Mm. So this is the week to get him before he does see that initial increase. And if you have a look at what's his current break even at the moment?
What do we got here? I think he's sitting at, is it -6?
-8, I've got him here. So he's going to, you know, he's likely to see a pretty good increase this week. He's still not out of range, though, so he can probably just wait and see. But, you know, I think that he's quite a good option. However, I wouldn't be downgrading a gun for him. And it's probably a little bit too early to be upgrading one of your forwards, unless you've got someone that's just, you know, an absolute plotter.
Which I don't think many would have in that sort of region anyway.
No. You're even if you've got a flagler, like he's still got a negative break even.
No need. You keep those sort of guys.
Yep. Okay. We'll get to that. Now, the next guy that I want to talk about is someone that I raised in the team's analysis yesterday. Alex Twal. He's been going absolutely gangbusters, and I really haven't heard too much about him. So all the talk has been centered around Junior Paulo. But if you have a look at what Twal has done over the past couple of weeks, and I know that he was also another sleeper option, but his minutes have just gone through the roof. So he played 50 minutes in the first game, then 55 and 65 over the past 2 weeks. But his base is just phenomenal. 63 base points and 66 base points in rounds 2 and 3. That is incredible.
So he's gone up 32K by the looks. So I think last week, I don't know whether it was Garner's injury
and Fenua
was off the field as well. So obviously that 65 minutes he got there is not going to be repeatable for a big guy like himself. But that you can't really argue with that base stat.
That base is phenomenal, isn't it?
And what's he got? Like barely anything in attacking points to go along with that.
Yeah.
And you look at a guy like Paulo or a guy like Napa, who we're going to talk about, that manages to score tries or set some up and just take them from that 60-point game to an 80 or 90.
Yeah, so when you're looking to bring in a front row forward or one of these kind of guys that plays in the middle, the base is the first thing you've got to look at, right?
You've got to ignore. Like, for a front row forward, you just cannot be chasing last week's attacking points.
Agreed. So he looks fantastic, but again, he's priced at a range right now where if you just wait a week to see what happens if they don't have any injuries and see if these minutes are sustainable.
He's a watch.
You can still... He's worth a look.
He's definitely worth a look. But he's got his pod lovers out there all over this guy.
Indeed. All right, where are we going to go to next? Should we maybe go to Manly and talk about Adam Fenua-Black?
Yeah, I think this is one of Banyo's boys. So Sam, we won the comp a couple of years back. So he's been quite high on AFB for quite some time. So very, very similar. So he just gets through meat and potatoes, hit-ups, tackles. So he'll knock out in 50 minutes, he'll knock out 55, 60 points.
Yeah, so he's another one that's only played the 2 games as well. So he's yet to see a price rise, price below 450K, which is a good price point. Break even of 16. So what has he produced so far, JT? He's got points 69, 65. He played a massive 63 minutes in round 1 and then 50 in round 3. I think he had a suspension in round 2. What are you seeing there on the page in front of you?
I mean, very high base. That's not as high as 12s, but as you can see there, he's got, 12 creative points. So I set up a try there, a few busts and a few offloads. So, I mean, that's the sort of stuff you want to see as well. Like, it's not crazy attacking stats. So it's not like, this week he got, 2 try assists and all of a sudden he's knocking around an 80 or 90 and everyone's getting excited. But that's, again, at a price of 447, That's top range, top tier sort of front row forward caliber.
Yeah, I think it's quite good value. I mean, there was a lot of talk about him, and I guess the bonus that he's got is that Martin Tapau just doesn't play that like big minutes. He's a 45 to 50 minute front row forward, so there's certainly minutes to go around there.
Yep, and especially because they've got quite an inexperienced pack coming off there. You've got Manazi Fainu as well coming on to relieve the hooker there, so. Plenty of minutes up for grabs for a guy like AFB over some of the guys they've got sat on the bench there. So a lot of upside for him. And we're talking about these guys, these mid-range guys. Who do you reckon is top tier, can't go without in front row forward? Let's compare them.
Well, for Fita,
yep,
100%.
Fifi. And he had a bit of a bludger on the weekend. I'm sitting back watching that game. I'm watching my Cowboys get torn to shreds, and I'm going, can at least someone I own do something reasonable in this game? And Fifi did absolutely nothing. I think he ended up with 50 or something like that.
Yep.
Nakora even got a try and barely scraped through 50. But yeah, let's compare Fifi. So this year he's played minutes of 73, 61, 55. In that time, he's got base of 50, 49, and 48. So on the downhill slide in that base stat sort of performance there, along with his minutes. So you look at a guy like, how much is he? 6'10K. And then we're talking about guys that are 400, 450.
And I think that's the reason for bringing this up, because I think there is a bit of a change in the guard there. I mean, we're already seeing someone like a David Clemmer, who's just producing output that he hasn't yet, coming to a new club, more minutes. His base is also over 60 at the moment, so he's a great option. But again, he's quite more expensive than the guys we're talking about now. So with the likes of Crichton, we've got Reece Martin coming up, who are going to be cut price, going to want cash for them. And then, of course, you've got Trbojevic, who everyone's going to want to get on over the next couple of weeks. Cash, we just maybe can't afford to be spending it on these big price front row forwards. And there's some serious value here with these mid prices that many of us just didn't see before the start of the season.
No. And obviously, Sergis was all the rage last week as well. Obviously, got huge attacking stats in the first couple of weeks. And everyone was a bit wary of that. Obviously, it's not going to happen every week, as we've said. But instead of, you know, looking at potential value from these guys, everyone was lured in by the points.
Yep.
So everyone went for Sergis. And these sort of guys, you just flow under the radar. And once you've gone Sergis, you can't then... What are you going to do? You can't downgrade to these guys. You've sort of lost that.
Well, exactly. You're locked in for the year, yeah. I think. The other one worth to mention for me is probably Dale Finucane. So he's someone that I had, locked in probably about an hour or so before the first game. Wussed out a bit just in terms of what I saw last year. But, geez, he's really, really, really impressive over the past couple of weeks. 84 points last week with 62 points from base. And then last week, 59 with 53 from base. But if you look at the overall performances last week in Bathurst, which is really, really cold, hardly anyone scored over 60 points.
No, that was a shocking game. Shocking game from Supercoach perspective. But yeah, Finucane, he's just racking up the minutes. And you look at his bench. You've got Brandon Smith there, who will chew up a bit of time through the second row there. And then you've got Kamithamitha, who plays maybe 20, 30 minutes at most. Does barely anything in that time. Thanks, Cammy. And then you've got... The guy that made his debut, he scored his first try in his second game. His name escapes me. Marion Sevi last week comes on. So these guys aren't playing a lot of big minutes. And so you got to look at that when you're thinking about these guys. So if you've got a guy like AFB, as we've talked about, has a reasonably low minute rotation that's going to come on and rotate him out. And similarly with Finucane. So he's been racking up over nearly an hour of game time on average. So,
yeah. So he's been averaging this year so far, if we have a look. So he's been averaging 62 minutes per game. That's almost 10 up from last year. So that's probably the increase we saw. Some people were maybe a little bit worried about Smith stealing some minutes as well. Brandon coming off the bench, but that hasn't been the case. Finucane's been playing those minutes. You've obviously got Kenny Bromwich, who's taking up a lot of the time. No Joe Stimson into that forward pack as well at the moment. But I think he played his first game in Resi's last week. So that's one to watch, or maybe something to look for going forward.
Yeah, Cabron's been doing well. So really interested to see what Bellamy ends up doing there, because a bit of talk around that Stimson might be on the way out, and he's got a couple of offers from rival clubs, that kind of thing. So quite interesting times to see where he lands in this rotation.
Okay, so before we move on from this main topic, Dylan Harper, so he's been has earned himself a massive price rise and then a great break even this week due to plenty of attacking stats in the past couple of weeks.
Man, I wonder how many people traded him out or just benched him after that round one effort. So he was ordinary. So when they got touched up by the Warriors there, he was barely seen.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is now he's got a break even of negative 47.
That is huge. Yeah. But the risk there is that he drops back to those, you know, mid-30s, mid-40s sort of.
But I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
On the basis that in the past couple of weeks, yes, the attacking stats have been there, but he's been averaging 48 base points per game.
That's not bad. But
and that's a lot better than what I was thinking he was going to do.
But the game where he gets 30 or 40 is still
But that's
there.
His minutes. That's so what's going to... So if you have a look at the current bench for the Dogs, so what do you think the rotation's going to be?
Well, now you've got Reece Martin in there playing a stack of minutes. They've got RFM floating around, obviously plays quite big minutes. They've got the one thing in his favour is that he's got a utility on the bench there to help relieve him. But I just don't see it. I see Napa scoring tries and setting him up. Like, how often is that ever going to happen again? So he's got the huge break even right now. So, of course, everyone eyes that off. Everyone sees it. Everyone just sees the dollar signs flashing before their eyes. But then all of a sudden the Dogs go back to doing dog-like things and he just starts plotting it. And he's a renowned plotter. This guy, I know we are so short-sighted in this game, but we got to think back. Like, think of his history. Think of his minutes history. Obviously, he was shocking last year. I think he was averaging something like 30 minutes. And yeah, obviously, he's going to get an uptick on that. But to what end?
Yeah.
Like, how long do you hold him for? Who do you trade him for?
But I think you're talking a little bit out of your ass here, JT.
Oh,
a bit. Because you've even just mentioned a player who's not even in the squad. So RFM got dropped. So if you have a look at
Kirk up in disguise.
See, if you have a look at their bench, what I'm saying, you've got Leecher on the bench. So you've got a utility there. And then you've got Adam Elliott, who's a back rower. And then you've got Ogden and also Smith. I can just see that Napa, with that bench, he's going to be getting 50-plus minutes a game.
He's going to do much with that.
Well, like, he's producing high 40s.
Okay, so he gets 50 points.
I'm just saying
the
people are going to be looking at these guys and going, fantastic, let's bring him in. Napa is 360K,
yeah.
Negative break even of close to 50. If he averages, and we're going to do this on the fly right now, and you can 50. Just talk.
Give him 50.
I would give him a 50 average. Okay, so let's do this now. So if he gives him a 50 average going forward, his price. Predicted price increase with that negative break even after lockout for this round, it's 71 or 72k, and then we've got a 26,000. So he's going to increase in price by 80,000 over the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so you get him into that round plus six, so it'll be round 10.
Yep,
and he's 450k. So he's exactly what a guy like Paulo, a guy like AFB, who have way more upside.
Sure,
than
but what about money?
So we got those guys.
Yeah, well, we got Dylan Brown and Kieran going down this week. We got some of our, you know, those guys were expecting to earn the cash.
Are you going
to
want to play Napa in your side every week?
Well, is it guaranteed? Well, I'm looking at playing someone like a Lowry at the moment. He's probably going to produce the exact same.
I still just don't see it. I don't see the need to play a guy like Napa, who you know can get 30s and 40s and kill your week, over a guy like... I even prefer Lowry. At least Lowry gets stuff done.
All right, that's fine. Before we move on to the next one, Pangai Jr. is not on this list, but he's someone that I think, when you asked a question before about who I think will be in the top echelon of the front row forwards, I think that, you know, many of us are kicking ourselves for not starting with him.
Well, you can't be blamed, right? He did the hammy in the preseason, and everyone suddenly jumped off.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, it's almost a ticking time bomb. So, great player, great super coach player, but you'll always have that thought in the back of your mind.
Yeah, he's a sensational super coach player. 70 minutes last week, moves to lock. I'm prepared to give it another week just to see what happens. But, I mean, he's just a super coach weapon.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on. Spent a lot of time on that one. Let's move off to our second key point at the moment. Is it too late to jump on the cheapies after their first price rise?
I think it depends.
Yep.
So you got to look forward. You got to think, how many more rises is this person likely to get?
Yep.
So first thing you'd look at is job security long term, obviously. So a guy might be jumping up 50K this week, but how's his security? So hypothetically, a guy, say, like Tom Opacic for the Cowboys, maybe he didn't get dropped last week and he banged out, you know, 60 or something, and he starts rising. That kind of guy is poison almost to be jumping on after their first rise.
So what about,
you just don't know.
What about, we don't talk in hypotheticals, what about Mike Sivo?
Well, I think he did enough to probably lock down his spot for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
So yeah, he took it to the Roosters on that edge there. He did well. He crashed over for a couple of tries there. So he looked good, and I think he has looked good throughout his first couple of rounds.
Can you tell Scoochie to stop sending us text messages during the podcast?
Sure, we're quite busy. He's sending me, asking me for team advice. Do I know any cheap hookers? Do you know any cheap hookers?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I'll ask Mark Gill.
Anyway, we digress. Where were we? So a guy like Sivo, I reckon you look at that performance and you think he's at least got himself another 3 or 4 weeks. And
yep,
that means more price rises. Week-to-week propositions are much, much different.
Okay, so if you look at someone like that, they've seen that price rise of of 60 to 70K.
Yep.
Break-even upwards of minus 50. They've got maybe another 100K or so to earn over the next few weeks. Job security, I still think for him, he's one bad game away from being dropped. So it looks okay, but then you've got on the other end of the spectrum, someone like a Corey Allen, who's yet to play his third game. So he's on the bubble. He had a bad game in the first one because he played limited minutes. Got a trade last week. So his price rise is going to be it's going to be, quite low next for the next game. But after that, when that round one rolls out, it should be going forward. Would you advise people to be looking at a Civo this week if they had one trade with that negative break even of 50, or pick a bottom price rookie in Corey Allen?
Not for some of the high priced guns that are going around that we're going to need to get in.
Yep.
So I think when you look at the price difference between Allen and Civo now,
yep.
And they're likely to make the same amount of cash, especially if Allen falls over for a try.
Yep.
So he's obviously starting from that bargain basement sort of thing. So it's obviously multiplied for him if he gets those sort of scores. So I think if you are tossing up between both of them, I think you've got to go the cheaper option. Because yep. when you look at them, their security is probably equal. You know, like Allen's probably got a free run in that side now for 6 weeks or whatever while Burns is out. So he's got his chance now to stamp his claim for that jersey. And I think Sivo, as good as he is and as great as it was to get on him, get him in if you can. And if you don't have to pick between a guy like Allen, I think a guy like Sivo, who you could just forget about what he used to be. You forget that you missed out. You just have to put that to the side. This is a guy that's going to make huge amounts of cash.
So just to justify, I guess, your point there as well, if Sivo has seen that increase of 60K, mm-hmm. right? If he averages, say, 30 to 40 points over the next few rounds, he's probably got about another 100K in him to earn, right? He's already had that big price rise. Allen had 2 points in his first game because he played the limited minutes, 44 last week. If he averages, let's say, with the Bunnies soft draw that they've coming up, I think he can potentially average, let's say, 40 over the coming few weeks. If he was to produce that, he's going to increase by 160K by the time that you've got Burns to come back into the side.
And that's conservative, 40 in that Rabbitohs side. So
it's conservative, and it's not, if you look at Sivo, even if that's also maybe conservative as well, but he's already seen that big price rise.
Yep. So I can see the justification in still buying Sivo because, as you said, he's got that 100K, but we're tossing him up between him and Corey Allen here, and I think you've got to go the cheaper option.
So what about someone that's priced over that 300,000 barrier, so not really a bottom, or not a bottom cheapie at all, but C&K. Would you be looking to bring him in? He's already seen a nice price rise so far. He increased, I think, by 68,000. He's above that, what we classify as a cheapy range now, but is he someone that you'd look to bring in?
I think so. He's got a game. He's got the game to be one of the, if not premium ends, obviously that's stretching it, but a really good backup, fullback option for the first half of the year. So you look at his game and he's a real sort of, he's got a bit of flair about him. And
tackle busts, all that kind of stuff that you want to see.
He scored a couple of real nice tries over the weekend, chasing through a kick and then being put through some yawning defense. But that kind of guy, so I think he's a bit different to a winger. So wingers obviously are up and down. You've got to ride the roller coaster with them. Some days it's going to be sweet, other days it won't be. With a guy like CNK, his scores are a bit more stable. And I think although he's on that sort of high end of the scale sort of thing there, I still think he's got plenty of room to grow. And he's going to be in the side, you would think, barring injury for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, look, I think he's got the potential to be a centre wing keeper. From what he's done the last couple of weeks. Base hovering around about 33, 34. That's fantastic. And, if you can get the odd attacking stat here and there and average 55 to 60, then that's exactly what you want. So he's certainly someone that I'm not going to be looking to trade out anytime soon, but also someone that if I didn't own him, I'd probably be considering to bring him in. But you've probably got bigger things that you need to settle.
For sure. But can you just forget like last week? I know it's hard and you look and you kick yourself because you missed this. I missed John Bateman from the start of the year and he went up 70-odd K.
Yep.
I had to get him in this week. You just got to swallow your pride.
Yep, and go. Agree. Okay, so I think, we're running out of time a bit. So what's your overall message with this? It is dependent, but I think what I like to do anyway is strongly suggested if you haven't been on it yet, NRL Supercoach Stats, they've got the price change calc there in the tools section. Use that and just do it because you might think that someone like a Sivo is a better option, but then just have a look at the difference in the price because at the end of the day, this game is all about team value and it's all about increasing that along with obviously scoring points along the way. But We got cheapies dropping like flies, so we need to generate cash somehow. So who is going to generate the most cash? Because these guys aren't going to be playing for you, most likely. But so we need them to earn cash. So anyway, that's that point. Okay, so this is a nice segue. What are we going to do with these two cheapy halves that have unexpectedly dropped out of the 17 this week? So we're talking about Kieran. We're also talking about Brown. One is dropped. And one is out for an indefinite period of time.
So it's probably an easier answer, I think, and that's just hold. So you can't trade them down to anyone else in that 5'8 halfback role. Maybe Chanel Harris-Tavita, but then again, he's a week-to-week proposition because Kieran's just been dropped. So I think those sort of guys, if you've got guns already in your 5'8 and halfback, just sit back with them. There's no one in that cheapy range that I think you are going to miss out on by holding Brown and Kieran. So Brown especially, like he's got the back injury now, but you think he'll walk back into that team when he can. Kieran, he got the nod over CHT to start the year, so probably there just a bit of a kick up the backside. The Warriors needed a scapegoat.
I think it was a 50-50 between those two to start.
I don't think so. I think Kieran played far better in the trials than CHT did. And he's more of a better foil for Blake Green. It looked that way in round one. They've fallen way behind the last couple of weeks. But that's not Adam Kieran.
But I posed to you that he's got a break-even now of 20.
Yeah.
How much cash generation does he actually have left in him?
But is it really, like, what does it take? 1 week where he gets a couple of try assists when he gets back?
Have you seen how shit the Warriors are?
Yeah, but they were all right in round one. When are they playing the Bulldogs next? When's that turning?
They don't play the Bulldogs for the rest of the year, mate. And then they play the Titans this week, so it misses out on that. And then they've got...
The Titans restricted your boy Damien Cook to 54.
They've done that elsewhere. But then they've got the South, they've got Cowboys, they've got the Storm. Then they've got Knights. Then they've got Dragons. Then they've got Panthers. And then they've got the Broncos. It does not get easy for the Warriors.
Oh, man, any game, like, this whole matchups thing, I don't know. I don't buy into it.
I buy into it with a certain thing, but if you look at that kind of stuff, I think it makes a massive difference. So I'm 50-50 at the moment to move him on. I'm...
Like, goal-kicking half at whatever he is now. You know,
but so CHT, right? He's the same.
So maybe look at him after a few weeks. So, but who are you going to trade Kieran to right now?
Well, we'll talk about that later. We'll bring that up in a little bit.
Maybe my
unpopular decision of the week, but listen, I wouldn't begrudge anyone for moving on or holding on to Kieran this week. I think it's depending on your structure and depending on what you want to do.
But surely after Tuesday, there's bigger fires to put out.
Maybe. Depends on your team. Depends on those good non-playing reserves you end up starting with. Dylan Brown.
Hold.
You reckon?
Got him. Yeah, look at how he played, and he's playing in a side that I think, you know, looks obviously better than the Warriors have at the start, and he's settled in way better. So obviously he hasn't lost his position on form.
Yep, but he's missing for the next 8 weeks at minimum.
Is it really 8 weeks?
Yep. Well, that's what they've come out today, and they said they expect it to be around about 8 weeks. And his break-even is a lot more favourable. He's got a break-even of -28, which is obviously a lot better than what you'd expect. But
I think there's more cash to make.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be so much shuffling in other positions. There's going to be other injuries that come up. That kind of guy is one you can just, yeah, it's unfortunate he's got that injury there, but just keep him there. If you don't have, if you have a handy 5'8 already sitting there, you just keep him on the bench, wait for the eventual return. So again, if you're not missing out on something, some crazy value by not going and getting rid of him, well, that's where we agree to disagree, but we'll get into that shortly. I think hold both Kieran and Brown. Brown might be...
I think both are disposable. I think that given the length, given the injury, the seriousness of the injury to Brown, I think that if something good does come along, if CHT, for example, proves to be a fantastic player, scores well, then I think you'd move Brown on despite that. He's not earning money for you while he's on the sidelines for 2 months, right?
Mm-hmm. But again, let's wait and see.
I mean, you can also always trade him in when he comes back with that negative break-even, right? Whereas Kieran, he's got the break even at 21, hasn't done much in the past couple of weeks. Yes, he's a goal kicking half, but what's the point being goal kicking half and shit?
You say you can just trade him back in like it's that easy. Like we're not going to have 17 other injuries to contend with in a few weeks. You just never know. And that's then he gets named, you know, a couple of months from now and, you know, everyone wants to bring him
in. Well, hope that he'll be, hope that Brown will be back for the bye, which is the big thing.
That'd be great.
Okay, so that, I think, wraps up our three key takeaways of the week, discussion points. Now, where are we going to go next?
Well, as we've said, we're going to bring in an unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week.
Yep.
Just because there's too much agreeing on this podcast.
Yep.
So I think I might go first. So obviously, talk of the week is one Tommy Turbo. And my unpopular opinion is that people are jumping on this guy far too early this week. The Warriors were absolutely awful, and you should be focusing on better cash-generating options this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they've got a very tough matchup.
You're not meant to agree.
They got a tough
this is a
match.
Bad start. They're unpopular.
I agree. And I didn't pick it. You picked it. It's not my fault that I agree with you. I mean, I wouldn't jump on him this week. A, he doesn't see a price rise. And then B, playing Souths.
Mm.
So I think this is almost chasing last week's point. But
The very definition.
But
definition.
The biggest thing for me is that people are destroying their teams to get him in.
Mm.
So friend of the podcast and friend of the side, Rob Sutherland, at the moment, his two trades that he's planning to do is to trade out Cleary.
Yep.
For Turbo.
Yep. That's I don't want to say insane. And obviously Cleary.
And he's
not
doing that via downgrading Lane to Paulo.
Yeah, and that's what, chasing last week's points, going sideways.
Breaking all of the Ten Commandments. He's literally grabbed Joe's Ten Commandments slate and smashed it
Joe
over his knee.
Joe would be spinning in his grave right now. I think he didn't return after his walk, so he can only assume he walked the dogs last week.
He bought a new dog.
There's another dog every time they lose there. Old Serge is going to have calves of fury.
All right.
But yeah, crazy. And people are trying to work out which gun should I trade down, because that's the only way you're going to be able to
get
a 720 plus sort of player.
So, I mean, if he goes gangbusters this week, and then that break even at the moment is -72. If he does go gangbusters again, I mean, let's just use this tool again to see. Like, I mean, I don't know. Let's just give me a number. What do you reckon he scores?
70
points. Okay. Yep. So let's put in.
It's that Lotto land. He does tend to kill.
Let's
it
put there. In 70 points here, and then he goes on to average 70. Right.
Yep.
So what is his price going to do? So he's going to increase in price by 44K,
mm-hmm.
Yeah? But then, immediately the round after, he's going to decrease in price by 30K.
Yeah, so you're going to need these tons to keep popping up. And for a guy that's come back from hamstring troubles, you never know when that's going to pop up again.
And I do not, for 1 minute, suggest that he's not a must, because I think he is, but I'm still going to stick
to... We will all have him at one point.
I'm still going to stick to my original plan, which would be probably round 7 is the time to bring him in.
And like he's still going to miss that origin period, and that's tends to be when he quietens down.
Yep.
And obviously he's a guy that everyone's going to get by the end of the year. There probably won't be a single Supercoach team that's still active that won't have that guy in their side.
But the message, and I agree with you, we shouldn't be agreeing.
No, you have another week to look at him, to see what happens in your, you know, maybe a guy like Damian Cook picks up an injury or something, and then all of a sudden the trade is made so much easier for you. But no need right now unless there's some, miracle way that you can pick him up.
So a couple of key commandments that people are breaking at the moment is A, trading a gun.
Yep.
B, trading a cow that has not fattened up enough. So going early on a cow. Or just another blatant, weird mid-price to trade.
Hmm.
So for example, a C&K or something like that, or Capewell or something to trade to the Turbo or something like that, which might not be that bad, but still... I mean, I think people are kind of rushing into it. Or the worst thing is when they're just destroying the side to get this one guy in. And there's no guarantees.
No.
Warriors were horrible last weekend.
They were. And you've got to look at that as well. And he's not going to be able to stroll through the Rabbitohs defensive line the way that he did there. Not second game back. So Warriors didn't turn up last week. And you need to start putting that sort of stuff into consideration when you think about a guy like Tommy Turbo. So, yes, he's got these huge games in him. But you know, you are chasing last week's points, and he might come out and kill it. He might come out and get 100 points or something like that. But as we said, it gives you another week to watch.
So the message is, don't bust your team for Turbo. If you can somehow turn, say, a Braden Burns into Trbojevic, and you've got the cash there, then I mean, that makes sense. But you know, if you wait 2 to 3 weeks, there's going to be a couple of centre wing cheapies, or even with Jules, and I'm looking at someone like a Lachlan Burr. Mm-hmm. Or even a Cameron Murray in a couple of weeks when he hits his price, right?
Yep.
Move those guys on.
Hmm. Once the attacking stats start drying up from those sort of players.
Agree. Okay, so now it's time for mine.
Hmm.
And I don't know if you're going to enjoy this or not.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick. Just lay it out. What? What is going on?
Come on, JT, let's do it. Come on.
Are we getting the party?
Come on.
I'm afraid these beers aren't quite heavy enough.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is? It's time to party. It's time to party with Cardi. It's the Cardi party like it's 2015. Yeah, it's the Cardi party.
Oh my God. Anyone who's still listening, I sincerely apologise for that. It was as cringeworthy in person as it was having to listen to that.
So, yeah, so if you haven't gathered by now, my unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week is that Bryce Cartwright is one of the buys of the week.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We should have given people a vomit warning then and there. What are you doing? Explain it. You've already tried explaining it once. Explain it again to the listeners out there. I'll just get the vomit bag here ready. Oh, boy.
So, the simple thing here is that we've seen, if you have a look, okay, a couple of things. The Titans bench has still got a utility on it with Brimson there. Ryan James is a better middle forward than he is on the edge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jai Arrow is not going to play 80 minutes a game.
Well, so, no one ever said he was.
Yeah, but it's the same side this week as what it was last week. Plus, you got their two star halves coming back. Right? Yeah. Which is then pushing Brimson to the bench. So the point is that I think that he's got a few 80 minutes on the edge ahead of him. And if you look back to the last time that he played 80 minutes on the edge, I think from memory, it was 2017, he scored 50 to 55 points. And then going back a year before that, he was averaging 60s on the edge. Last year when he was playing 80 minutes, I think he played 4 to 5 games. He was mainly playing in the halves for the Titans, who were struggling. So that's not a true sign of what he can actually produce. He's priced at 250K, which is 20K more expensive than, say, a Kieran. Mm. He's going to earn cash. He's got a break even of 0. If he continues to play 80 minutes on the edge and producing 50 to 55 points, he's going to increase in value by 100K over the next couple of weeks. And that could time him perfectly to, say, downgrade to CHT. Or to be upgrading to a full-on Nathan Cleary.
So who are you trading him for?
So I'll be looking at moving Kieran onto Cartwright at 5'8".
Absolute insanity, mate. This is Bryce Cartwright, B-R-Y-C-E, the Cardi party, who has not done any of the sort.
Getting back on the Cardi party, mate.
It's taken 1 week. You've literally seen 1 week where he offloaded a couple of times and got 80 minutes.
Okay.
How often is that? Look at
his stats there. 38 base. If he's producing 38 to 40 base per week, he's going to make money.
Why don't we just bring up his 2016 stats? Let's just bring those up.
Well, bring him up.
Zero relevance. Different team. Coach, you surely cannot play a guy like Bryce Cartwright, who is a shocking missed tackle away from being dropped at any one time.
Well, he's better than me playing someone like Mr. Boombastic.
Please don't.
Very fantastic.
Please do not do that.
Mr. Lover.
Honestly, don't do this to yourself. Like, I don't know, if there needs to be some Bryce Cartwright.
Listen, I just think the hate out there is, I think it's justified if he's 350K, but Bryce at 250, starting on the edge. And I think that he's going to play 80 minutes for at least the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so you're playing him.
Garth Brennan is a big fan of him, right? He recruited him from Penrith. I'm not saying that he's going to go. It's not going to be a full on blown party. However, I think that he can at least give us 45 to 50 points a game, and that's cash.
But This is Bryce Cartwright. I know it looks good on paper, but have you seen the guy play in a title?
JT, all I'm seeing right now is that I'm 17 points ahead of you. So tell your story, walking champ.
Oh, champed. Yeah, that's the two mid-strike.
Okay, so they're popular Supercoach opinions of the week. Turbo, we both agree, but he's, you know, super popular at the moment.
Just wait. Yeah.
And Cartwright, we are just miles apart. But that's fine. That's what Supercoach is about.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're nearly hit the hour mark. We've got probably 5 minutes for some Twitter questions.
So we'll try and just yes, no them. Hey? Okay. Or just, yeah, keep our answers short and sweet. So Tane Sarajevo asks what to do with Opacic. So I had him last week. He was sad. He's obviously sat out of the team. He didn't impress in his time there. Yep. I've given him the flick. Yep. So, I mean, he has a reasonable enough break.
Downgrade to Allen.
Well, yeah, exactly. So when's he ever going to come back to the team? We're not sure. Get rid of him. From under the radar, is the SCG surface still a mess and thus Teddy is a VC waste?
Well, I'm not a ground curator, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you had have seen any of the Super Rugby games or the Rugby League games there.
I don't think many people did see the Super Rugby
games. Yeah, it's probably about 10 or 15 in Australia. But he's probably having a look, having a good hard look right now. But yeah, the turf looks pretty shit out. So Teddy, it's raining as well. Yeah, not a fan of that VC option tomorrow.
No. Great call.
I think he averages 50 points against the Broncos and yet score a ton against them too.
Mm. There we go. Matt Beasley asks, currently got Teddy and RTS in fullback. Should I be trading out RTS for Turbo maybe next week?
Exhibit A of what we're saying. What's wrong with RTS is going great guns this year.
Hmm. So he has asked maybe next week. So obviously he's playing the Titans this week, RTS.
Yeah,
and I think he loves playing Titans as most fullbacks do. Yep. So, I mean, RTS suddenly gets 150, hypothetically, and then all of a sudden he's the new Turbo. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Simon Bartlett asks, is there any news on Jack DeBellin? Do you think he will be playing any footy this year? Quick look. No idea.
No idea.
Ben Henderson asks, Kahu, trade or hold?
What's his name?
Ben Henderson.
Delete your team, son.
Poor mate. You're not alone in falling for the Kahu trap, but definite trade there in the centres. What do we got here? Brick Top Burns, give me the something. Any validity in avoiding the weekly trade-in / hype player? Lolo, week two, gone. Burns, week three, gone. Turbo, ? Happens too often for my liking.
Great.
Great call.
Great call.
Great call.
Great call.
As we said, you've got another week to look at him.
And one more.
Under the radar in topical fashion.
Again?
Cardi, please set us all straight. Well, you already got the answer to that one.
I'm going to party like it's 2016.
And I'll save one that you didn't quite like for the end here while I find that one. Daniel Hackman asks, thoughts on holding Lane or trading out?
Well, I think that's ridiculous. You hold him. I think, what's he done wrong? He produced just purely base last weekend. Attacking stats around the corner.
As Cope said, you've got to sort of ride the lows with those sort of guys. On their on weeks, they'll be getting your 80s and 90s. On their off weeks, they'll be doing that for you. And if I can just find this one, it was someone asking what to do with the hooker position.
Yep.
So I reckon for the second hour of our podcast, let's launch in. Let's launch in here, eh?
Yeah, well, mate, I think you need to maybe send a more succinct question in next time and then we will have to answer it, champ.
Well, that's a lot kinder than you put it there before we went on to air.
Yeah, no, sorry, sadly. Just send it in, but maybe give us something that we don't have to spend half an hour to cover. Anyway, all good. Okay, so we hit the over the hour mark. We need to sign off here, JT. It's been fun. It's been good. There's huge stuff happening in Supercoach. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, do it. You get the feed straight to you. It's all free every week. JT, good luck to you this weekend.
Don't need it, mate. Cowboys are going to win. I'm going to flog you in Supercoach.
Give us a yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
All right. See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.